Oh yeah. Get ready to do another episode of the Alski Show. Right here from all the right. Big shout out to George. Big shout out to Zeus. Big shout out to Sticker Fried and Boundless Brooklyn. My brother Chris, Robots Will Kill. Shout out to everybody out there that supports the show. Tonight's a little special. Reaching out to every avenue I possibly can to bring you the knowledge. Nothing but raw graffiti knowledge. There's no color in this game because paint is paint. Fuck what you heard. It is what it is. I don't know what else to say, but I want to introduce to you a very good person. Down to earth. He's nasty. Great tattoo artist as well. I want to introduce to you Ink One, Tough City, the BX, Mr. Ink.
Good evening.
Oh, that was very nice. Good evening. I like that.
Good evening.
Now, as you know, we don't edit anything on the Alski Show because we just do it raw. No notes. No nothing. Just straight up knowledge from the head. Ink, where you from, brother?
Originally, I'm from Jackson Heights, Queens.
There you go, Queens. I love Queens.
I love Queens, too.
I love all boroughs.
Jackson Heights, originally. And then we moved to Maspeth.
Uh-huh.
And my father, being the good New York City police officer that he is, wanted to take me away and brought me to the mean streets of Nassau County.
Nassau County.
That's right.
That's the sixth borough.
Right, the sixth borough.
Yeah. So, what year did you start?
I started writing in 1982.
82.
I was 11 years old.
That's OG status.
That's OG status in this day and age.
Well, for all the new bucks out there getting into the game or recently into the game, you got to remember one thing. Us OGs paved the way, and you got the people before us as well, right?
Absolutely.
So, you gotta take to consideration that we've been there, we've done that. You know, maybe we're not in the game as we should be. But then again, we probably used more paint than you ever will in your career.
Correct.
Not putting it in a bad way, but, you know, us old guys.
Or did more illegal things.
Yeah.
Than most people we see on Instagram and Facebook.
All right. So, let's get down to it.
What? I started writing in 1982.
From Queens.
I had a friend.
Go ahead.
Originally, that wrote Mace One.
Okay.
And he introduced me to a guy that wrote Best One from Brooklyn, who was in the Savage Nomads division in Brooklyn, okay?
Right.
He was an older 70s writer. And, like, you know, I'd grown up around graffiti, you know, seeing stuff like on the Sevens and stuff like that, you know? And, like, you know, I was always an artist, you know? And
You're always into the art thing.
I was always into the art thing, all right? You know, many people came and started writing. They weren't into the art thing, you know, but some of us, you know, have a little bit of talent. A little bit.
Well, I always drew ever since I was a kid.
Exactly, you know. So, basically, he put me on to tagging. And, you know, he was like a real fucking outlaw, street mutt kind of dude. I don't even know if the dude is alive anymore. But he was in the Savage Nomads division, one of the Brooklyn chapters or whatever. And, you know, it was a white guy. And, you know, it was the kind of guy that wore, like, you know, cut off vest, you know, denim, real dirty. And he
biker
hung out,
look?
Yeah, a biker look, you know, chain, wallet, and whatnot. And my friend lived in a pretty rundown house. And there was a small bar across the street that had probably been open, you know, from the 40s or 50s. And this guy would be in there, you know, drinking. And once in a while, he'd come out. And he'd see us hanging out outside the house, you know, smoking cigarettes or, you know, doing something, whatever.
At a young age,
you know. And
the times were different.
The times were very different, you know. And basically, you know, he kind of put my friend on to doing, you know, marker tags with El Marcos, you know, before we moved to Pilot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, and that's what we would do, you know. And the original thing I wrote was Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Right. In 1983, I changed it to PS or PSS. The first train I ever hit was a Long Island Railroad car, a PS fill-in, and there was a QV wrist next to it, all right, which I put because, not because I was down with that crew, especially from that young age, but because the person that I was with was close friends with EA. He grew up in Woodside in the neighborhood. He had a brother that rode fast who came a little bit later.
Right,
but the guy was just like, you know, you're really impressionable, and I think you're fucking nuts. Why don't you put a QV wrist next to that tag, you know? Again, not because, you know, I was down with that crew, and I had no idea, you know, who that was at the time. And that's what I did. You know, that was my first fill-in on a Long Island Railroad car on the Jamaica line.
So now,
1983.
As far as seeing graffiti before you actually started writing graffiti, who was it that, you know, stuck out, you know,
the stuff that I'm most primarily the stuff that I would see would be on the sevens.
Okay.
All right.
So you had Sun Pro.
Well, Sun and Pro I saw, but for some reason it didn't stand out to me that much. Okay. But what really stood out to me was the Kane 1 cars.
Kane 1, okay.
And the stuff that I saw that Kane had done. And, you know, for a young kid, like, you know, that stuff was absolutely fucking horrifying. Okay.
In what way?
Just because the graphic, you know, bleakness and darkness of it. You know what I mean? It was graffiti, but it wasn't a graffiti, I guess what we know is like a hip-hop graffiti. And I want to talk about that a little bit because there's been a lot of talk.
You mean like gritty, dirty compared to...
I'm not saying that they weren't bubble letters, but it's just what's grown graffiti so much is really the element of hip-hop and kind of like how the media put it together, like after probably around 1983 is when it got huge. You know what I mean? Even though Style Wars was a little bit earlier, you know, like a year or two before, you know, people all over across the world, they tend to think that, you know, this is really an element of the hip-hop culture. And yet, you know, New York City graffiti, okay, is really based on something that's so much older than that, you know. And like, you know, you talk about older writers like, you know, Checker and Blade and these guys. I mean, these guys weren't listening to fucking Afrika and Bambaataa. I mean, no disrespect to Bam, because, you know,
that's
love Bam.
Because I'm looking at that right now, Afrika Bambaataa, looking for the perfect beat.
Right. You know, these guys were listening to, like, you know, Grand Funk Railroad and Black Sabbath. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm a big Zeppelin fan.
Right, and like obviously in Zeppelin, all right? You were coming out of, like, you know, a pivotal age of New York City and decline, you know, where the city just couldn't pay its bills. And, like, you know, there weren't fat laces yet. I'm sorry. You know what? People have become so jaded by this, thinking that, you know, this is purely, like, this came out of hip-hop culture. And, like, it didn't come out of hip-hop culture.
Graffiti, no.
You know? And it just didn't, you know? Like, about a year ago, I had met some B-boys from the UK. And he's like, you know, B-boy, we up rock. You know, we graffiti. We're in the culture. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But I was like, you don't even know what culture you fucking come from. You know? Not to say it's a racial thing whatsoever, but you don't even know where the fuck you came from. You don't even know the roots of this.
Right,
you know
what I mean?
Their definition or their understanding of graffiti came from rap music, break dancing, you know, and that's what it was known for. I started before that thing became really alive and really as big as it massively did. You know what I mean? I was able to see and take in all that stuff before it was actually like that. You know what I mean? Like where it was acceptable to wear a Rush shirt and do a tag. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you remember the shirts? I mean,
obviously,
we all had the shirts.
Sure.
Your favorite band, you know, you'd go into like
I remember not being allowed
Charlie
to wear
Joint
them.
And shit like that, and you would buy, you know, a rock band shirt.
Right.
And now today, you know, we make our own shirts.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's the cheaper way, I would assume.
But you know, like as far as I knew, there was like there's some elements in this, you know, that people like really tend to overlook, as far as rock and roll. You know,
right?
Goes, you know, rock and roll and funk and soul, you know, it's just not always what people perceive, And it's because of the media and what the media has really done, you know, to lump all these things together.
Yeah, well, I mean, the media fucks everything up. I mean, the media makes you believe what they want you to believe. They want you to see what they want you to see. It's like, you know, conspiracy theory type of shit. I mean, how many times have you seen a crime go down? Did it ever make the 11 o'clock news? No, unless they wanted it to. So, I mean, that goes as far back as time, you know, to this day. But as far as the... I understand what you're touching off on with, you know, the graffiti and hip-hop, where, you know what, a lot of the writers that I looked up to before I actually wrote and, you know, got into the progression of graffiti, later on did I find out that most of them were white, you know, and most of them actually listened to rock. But, you know, as time passed, you know, the era, so to speak, you put, you know, the hip-hop with the B-boys and, you know, the DJ and all of that other
Don't
shit.
Get me wrong. I'm not saying that I wasn't into that, because I absolutely
Yeah,
was.
No, but you're just...
It all
just,
came to be,
you're
like,
just popping
sewn
off
together. Yeah, exactly.
What you know, which there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, this isn't, you know...
Thank you.
This isn't 100%
right.
Inaccuracy by a book. This is knowledge from each interview, each artist, you know, yourself, myself, and whoever else comes to the show or been on the show. So, you know, everybody has their opinion. I mean, if, you know, you can't respect that, oh, well, you know.
An older person that I bombed with that was a couple years older than me, in 83 I met him, was another writer that wrote Lost, okay? And Lost was from East New York, and he was a couple years older than me. Another outlaw-looking dude, but, you know, at that time, you know, you started to see things with, you know, fat laces and whatnot, where people still dressed like that, but they still had a little touch of this outlaw to them, you know, I gotta tell you. You know, but by this time, you were starting to see, like, more fat laces and stuff like that.
Shell-top Adidas?
Correct, you know, shell-top Adidas. I also,
you know, Scam still wears them to this day.
Yeah, of course. Well, I do too. I don't wear a fat laces, but you know, nice. I'll still wear a shell toe. It's amazing how long they've actually lasted. They've been around since the 60s, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. So the second dude that I used to write with was Lost. He's from the Seven Deadly Sins crew out of East New York. Okay. And his boy Snow, Seven Deadly Sins, who I haven't seen for a very long time. And the back of the letter O, he used to do a backward swastika for the dot and the O, which you would never see by today's standards.
Right.
You know, because, well, things were still about shock. You know what I mean? You still had that shock element to the stuff that we were doing.
Well, listen, that's like the Confederate flag. I mean, they wanted,
right,
they
it's wanted an out, it's an outlaw thing.
And, you know, that's, I don't personally see, you know, the purpose of removing it. I mean, it was part of the you know, history. But regardless, I mean, today is different. Yesterday is gone. Today is the new era, and, you know, people are just scared in general. I mean, look at this.
Snow was also a Spanish kid.
You know,
they use swastika in his O, in his throw-up.
You got Donald Trump running, right? And look at the mayhem being caused by him just speaking his mind. You know, it's like media is a dangerous thing.
You know what? It really, let me tell you, I don't ever really read the Post. I haven't read the Post for years, but I tend to look on the cover of them every so often. Yesterday, there was a picture of a Klansman saying that he endorses Trump. All right. Now, for the media,
I didn't even see
all right.
That.
So for the media to take an image like that, okay, and just put Trump's name with a Klans person. If one's just glancing this paper, that's all they're picking up.
Exactly.
And that's what people could vote on.
Right.
All right?
Well, I saw the thing with Governor Christie endorsing Trump.
And that was today with a different picture of a Klansman.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I mean, I work so many hours, I don't know what day is which and when I saw what. But regardless, it is what it is. But, you know, I mean, the media is very dangerous. And people make things dangerous. I mean, if everybody just got along, minded their business, and did their own thing, you know, the world would be a better place. You know, I mean, even with today's graffiti compared to yesterday's graffiti, times have changed. Look at the paint, you know, what you have available to you. I mean, When would you ever think you could walk into a graffiti shop to buy certain paints for certain things that you're doing? You know, back then it was just, you know, your Wet Look, Rusto, Krylon, ShopRite paint, or whatever the fuck was out there. I mean, you know, today it's like an industry, and it's...
It really is. It's a business.
It's very out there.
It's the business of graffiti.
You know, did you ever think you would drive down a street and see a graffiti shop?
No, I never did.
You know,
it's beyond my wildest fucking imagination.
Everything was pretty much underground, and you know, now it's pretty much mainstream, and that's just the way it is. I mean, getting back to the writers and stuff. Being from Queens, you know, you ventured, you know, you met guys from Brooklyn and here and there. Who, to this day, do you think is one of the best, iconic in your eye? Of course.
In kind of what era you're talking about? In the 80s, the 70s, you know.
Any era, period.
I'm gonna tell you, for the whole era.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As far as we know it, without question, and I don't give a fuck about what anybody says at all. Is J.A. J.A. is fucking king.
There you
That's correct.
Okay.
And you know what? People could say, oh, this one, that one. Sure. They did lots of work. They did tons of work, all right? People did massive amounts of things. But the consistency and the effort this motherfucker has put in is fucking phenomenal, bro.
Day in, day out.
Day in, day out.
Yesterday till today.
Exactly.
And tomorrow. I don't think there's...
And even if people don't like him personally for whatever beefs he's had in the past, you cannot dispute this.
Right.
Can't be disputed.
I personally don't know him. I met him once. And, you know, never seen him again after that, you know, in person. But he does do damage.
He does damage.
Done it, did it, and will continue to do it. So I respect that.
Yeah. So
I don't see nothing wrong with saying J.A.
You know, I'm not saying, listen, you know, we're not talking about Style Master. We're talking about the most to ever do it, period.
Well, okay? you're straight up street bomber.
Exactly.
And street bomb he does.
And that's what he does.
I mean, hey, he took it beyond the limits, you know, back in the day. You know, you'd see him in a different state and so on and so forth. Where now people are actually going out there hitting different states just to say, you know, I bombed here, I bombed there. This guy done it, I think, before anyone actually has, being a native New Yorker. I mean, this is to what I seen, you know. He started that era, I believe. You know, people seen him up in movies. You know,
right?
How many people? How many people can you say you seen him up in the Rocky movies? You seen him up in The Godfather?
There were other writers that came out.
Well, absolutely, but
I'm not just saying. That's not even why I'm saying.
As far as a famous, you know, well-known
writer,
J.A. did it.
That's it. Absolutely. You know,
J.A.
and then, you know, if you want me to name several of the people after that, I mean, I could, obviously.
You could name whoever you want.
Right. But he would definitely have to be up there, you know, as far as anybody out now, Easy.
You know?
You can't deny Easy. You can't deny Send 4. You can't deny really anybody, you know, who they hang out with. I mean, like, look, you know, they're out there, man, you know.
Now, you mentioned Easy and Send 4 and, you know, J.A.
These guys have been around since the 80s. It's documented.
Right. And then you have people that'll, you know, listen to this interview and they'll
be like... I'm talking about street bombing. I'm talking about getting around everywhere. I'm not talking about, like, just train riders. I'm talking about street signs, mailboxes, doorways.
Fire hydrants.
Exactly. Ditto.
Garbage trucks. You remember the postal
dumpsters
era? Do you remember the post truck era?
You know who was really up on a lot of different post office boxes that I remember being in marker tags? Gano.
Okay, and I remember Zone. You remember Zone?
Vaguely.
Zone, Nye's brother.
He
bombed the hell out of the 7 line, but okay.
You know what? Again, the media, there were thousands of people that wrote graffiti in New York City. Thousands.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But there's only a handful that remain active.
Right. And, you know, one of the people that, like, I'll mention, like, if they're talking about, like, the Risk Crew, like, they're talking about this one. The one person like that really stood out for me, all right, as a kid was Visa.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't ever hear him, you know, you don't ever hear about him that often unless you were in that circle or you were in Queens at the time.
He had Queens Boulevard smashed.
He had it smashed, man, and you can't deny, you know, again.
Especially down Sunnyside.
You can't deny it.
Definitely not. Before the interview, I mean, whatever conversation we ever had, you seem to pop up the names that should have more recognition. And Visa is definitely one.
You know, and like, you know, we were asking me, like, what's the early stuff that I had? So, as far as, like, the trains, like, those are the, like, Kane 1 really stood at because it was just fucking mind-boggling, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tracy was also on the 7s and Fuzz was also on the 7s.
Absolutely.
All right? And like, 76, 77.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Tracy's a good person. So is Fuzz. They're all good people.
I think that really, really what I saw on the expressways, though, like the earliest people that I saw running on the expressway was probably TZ from TMR, mm-hmm. respectively. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Is
definitely
Satch, quick definitely. RTW.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by, you know, the entire TMR crew. Peace to my peoples. All right, TMR. You know,
shout
the mob rules. That's a shout out.
And
that's a shout out.
And how about Mirage?
Well, that's a good friend of mine, man. I was the youngest member on his crew, KDM. Wow. I met him in 1983. We didn't get along too well at first. I can tell you that. He was a much older guy than I was, but I had a friend who was pretty tight with him that was a little bit older than me, and that's really kind of how I met Mirage. I could probably answer some questions about that as far as just him in general. Like a lot of the people I know that knew him met him like much later. You know, I knew him as a young kid, and like
right.
he pretty much apprenticed me.
What's your opinion on? I mean, when he started with his signature feet,
right? Signature feet didn't come out until a little bit later.
Right.
When I first met him, he wrote Mac MAC.
Right. Now, me personally, when I started seeing the feet right away, I thought Vic Kessler.
Right.
Which is...
Well, I always thought,
from Flushing.
Right. The thing is, Mirage originally started using the feet because he was doing an M.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And when he
right,
broke...
Right, that's why
there's
three toes.
Correct. When he broke the M down, right, little by little, and his pieces, that's what it started to look like. And then he just went with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Hang 10 footprints, you know?
Yep.
From the 70s, from the Surfer Company.
That's right.
And that's what it is, man. And that's what it was, man. You really didn't have logos like that. Yeah, you had the older stuff from the 70s, like Stay High and stuff
like that. Right, right,
but stick not like figure. That. You know, that left a big impression on a lot of people.
Same thing with that,
you know
the Stay
mean?
High. That
and,
reminded
and,
me
and
of...
And, like, honestly, the dude was just... The dude was fucking dope. You know,
he
was far, far advanced for his time. There's no question about it. But I knew him for a long time. You know, Zurock Dome I knew a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then they became friends. And then, you know, we were all cool. But, you know, I went through a lot of shit, like, early in the game of Mirage, man. Like, you know, like, I would bring markers to the house. He'd do an outline for me. He'd be like, leave the markers here, and he'd keep the markers. I'd come back and flip out, you know. And, like, you know, this shit just went on. And then I got locked up for a long time. Like, I was, like, a real street kid, like... You know, I pretty much lived in the streets, never came home, and like, you know, shit got bad, man. So I got sent away for a couple of years, you know, to meet a whole lot of other writers to go into training. You know,
how did you wind up getting into the tattoo game? I mean, if you don't mind me asking, I mean, you said you were locked up for a minute.
I got locked up, I was locked up like early, like, you know, like at the end of '83. You know, I was doing like 3 years upstate. You know, I was a child, man, basically. You know. I got into the tattoo thing. I had to go to like parochial school. Went to a trade school half day because I got thrown out of school a lot, you know. And what happened was I had at the time, you know, I was really into the hardcore scene,
right.
Skinhead. Okay. I'm not afraid to say the word skinhead. I know it's become very, you know, not PC, whatever the fuck that means, all right?
I don't know.
But that's what we were into.
Yeah, you know. True. We're pretty much everything else.
Hardcore skinheads, okay? Whatever. We weren't Nazis, okay? We were skinheads.
But,
to make a long story short, I had another very good skinhead friend that was in my class that went to school. They bust us out to a school.
Right.
You could take different classes. One was commercial art, printing, and photography. Three of the classes were interjoined together. Right? Mm-hmm. I had a friend in there. His name is Mike Ledger. All right. And Mike Ledger was a pretty good artist. He didn't do graffiti, but he was a very fine artist. And in 1989, he started apprenticing at Peter Tattoo on Long Island on Hempstead Turnpike.
That was my first tattoo.
Yeah. A lot of people's first tattoo. Because it was legal on the Nassau line, came out of Peter Tattoo.
The guy's name was Frank. He wound up opening his own place. I think it was called Da Vinci's out in Long Island.
Da Vinci's, yeah.
Yeah, that was my very first tattoo.
Yeah. Well, basically what happened, Mike started going there apprenticing. And, you know, he's like, look, Phil, why don't you get into this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because to be honest with you, at the time, we were much more involved with drugs at the time. And, you know.
You know, well, it gave you a good vision back then, I'm sure.
The thing is, it wasn't looked at the way it was. People have to, tend to forget as well. Tattooing has become so acceptable.
Right? Oh, absolutely.
Everybody has fucking tattoos.
Absolutely.
But still, in the 80s, that shit wasn't acceptable for everyone still.
Yeah, you're right. Because people would be, they would stereotype you.
You know, you're talking about,
he's working a gang class, member, he's bikers. A biker.
First of all, I was prohibited. I was a skinhead, and I was real into that shit. I was real into that style. But because, I'm Irish and stuff, I'm not just Irish, right? But my father's Irish, and, they tend to be pretty conservative. He forbidded that I get any kind of tattoos, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it was you were kind of looked down on if you were Irish and had tattoos.
Right. Well, even you were looked down no matter what you were.
Right, right. But
my father would tell me the same thing.
But more so, I think, because you were Irish, because it created
Catholic.
Connotations of, that's just low class. You know what I mean?
Right. Trash.
Right. You know? And we're not talking about, phenomenal, bodysuits being put out probably at the time.
You're talking about Christ, whatever it was.
Right, you're talking about guys Tony Pulido in Brooklyn, whacking out $50 tattoos, be like parrot or a Christ head or a cross, or it would be a swallow or a heart and a dagger or something like that.
You know what's
funny? Which I absolutely love, and God bless Tony Pulido and Mike Perfetta.
The funny thing is people would look at you as, a criminal, hoodlum, whatever words were back then. But, me being a kid and my father would say, that guy's probably a criminal or this or that.
Right, right.
It's funny how, you would see the servicemen, Marines, Army guys, and...
Right. If it was acceptable, to have maybe one Marine tattoo.
Right.
And that's all they would have the whole
fucking
life.
But what made it different? Here you are, America, criticizing your average Joe having a tattoo, but those who served our country were accepted to have a tattoo.
Right. Hypocrisy at its finest level.
There you go. Well, that's perfectly said.
Right.
This is true. So you wound up getting into the tattooing.
So what happened at that time, I kind of dismissed it. I was interested, but I knew that shit was not going to fly with me. You know what I mean?
In what way?
The family, it was not acceptable. You know what I mean?
Right.
Obviously the graffiti was definitely not acceptable.
Oh, of course not.
When you get home from school at 15 years old and you have Mass Transit Authority detectives in your living room and your father's just getting off his fucking shift as a detective, it's not acceptable.
You know what I mean?
I beat several graffiti cases in the 80s.
I can only imagine how happy your father was.
I remember they brought a handwriting expert in, and I beat the case because I told them that you were unfamiliar with hip-hop culture, that those were people biting my style, and that's why it looks very similar.
It worked.
And it worked. There's nothing that they could do about that. They couldn't even contest it. But that was a different time period. They hired a handwriting expert, I went to a deposition.
What a lot of people don't realize, graffiti artists do have a talent for penmanship, so to speak, because I...
Or not penmanship.
I actually, I'm not going to say where, why, and what happened, but at one point in time, you know, the you had the schemes going on, and, you know, you'd come across a card, whatnot, and I would actually sign Lefty.
Right.
And since I was in the circle got brought in, and, you know, we're all like, you know, what the hell are you doing? What are, you know, what are we doing here? What's this got to do with that? So on and so forth. But I knew what was going on because I, you know,
right.
I knew.
That's it.
And they had sat me down and they said, listen, we want you to write 0 to 9. And I want you to write the alphabet. And I want you to do it 5 times each. So I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, like, you know, I was being a wise ass, whatever, whatever. Now, I start to write, and right away, the expert is saying, no, no, that's not him. Now, me, I'm cracking up because it was. And, you know, you use one hand, and then you naturally use the other hand, and
right.
I got over. So that all came back from being in Catholic school, because in Catholic school, we had a class that was writing.
Right.
And if you didn't dot properly and cross your T's and all that shit, you got whacked with a fucking yardstick. So, you know, my penmanship was pretty on point. So, you know, the experts sometimes, they get beat at their own game.
Absolutely, man.
Straight up.
You know, absolutely.
So, now, the tattoo.
They're getting a check no matter what.
I actually like the tattoo theory of you getting into it because from what, and if people don't know, go visit Ink up at Tough City in the Bronx.
I physically got into tattooing.
Can I explain to the people.
Let me just tell you, this is gonna be a little odd. This might not be, all right. I was speaking at a Narcotics Anonymous meeting.
Okay.
All right. I'm coming up onto 9 years clean. And I had maybe like 2 years clean. Okay. And I was speaking on a topic, and, like, I guess there was some new people in the meeting that night, and there was this Spanish kid in the front row, and he came up to me after we finished the meeting up, and he's like, you know what, man, I really appreciate, and I can relate with what you were saying. That's really cool. And he was telling me he was going through his stuff, and it was his first day back, and he had been going to the rooms for a while and whatnot, but he hadn't been around for a long time, and, you know, he was struggling, man, with doing what he did. And I told him, I'm doing service at another Narcotics Anonymous meeting. And he goes, oh, yeah, where at? And he started showing up every week and sitting next to me. And I was like, and I, you know, I would open the meeting up. Nobody, maybe not everybody knows what that is, but, like, you know, if I'm facing the room one way, this guy would be sitting right next to me on the side. I never questioned what this guy did. I didn't know what was going on with him. You know, I just offered to help him out if I could. He seemed like a nice guy, and, you know, we just started talking, and, you know, I never asked what he did for a living. That's for shit sure. And, again, you know, like, I had a couple people ask me early in the game, you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, if I wanted to get into tattooing, and I kind of brushed it off to do other things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so what was really amazing about this is, like, you know, this guy was kind of unusual. He would come up to the meeting and, like, you know, a nice, like, Mercedes with the music on, like, volume fucking 40. And I was like, this guy's just fucking crazy, you know,
mm-hmm.
bugged out, you know. And one day I was showing somebody some photography of some graffiti stuff that I did. And he got out of his car and he walked over and he seen me showing this picture to somebody. He goes, you know what? He goes, I don't know if you know, but I own a tattoo shop in Brooklyn. He goes, did you do these? And I said, yeah. He goes, this looks really good. He goes, if you could do this, he goes, I'll teach you how to tattoo. It'll probably take like about a year or so. He goes, I'll apprentice you. I will give you every effort, and you could do what you want with it from there.
Hmm.
And, you know, that's really how it went down. And, like,
wow.
You know, it, like, you know, that was it, man. I quit my day job, you know.
And here you are.
I had a finance job. I worked in Wall Street, and I worked for an attorney at the time. And I basically sat in front of a computer drawing fucking pictures all day.
Right. Okay.
You know,
and then you just took it to the next level.
And you know what? That's it, man. You know,
and now
I got my chops up,
inking,
you know,
people up.
And that's it, man. That's what I do.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, bro. You know, where I work at Tough City, It's not like some, you know, like little shop in the East Village or like Hipsterville, Brooklyn.
Right.
It's like, you know, a real tattoo shop where like all walks of life walk in the door. You don't wait to usually get an appointment. You get that shit done. You get them in and out.
In and
you
out.
Do it
in
to
and
the
out.
Best of your ability, and you get them the hell out
one,
of there.
One, two, one, two, get the fuck out.
And that's how it is, man. And that's real New York City tattooing. Tough City is an older establishment as far as tattooing goes in the New York City area. They've been around for about 20 years. I got to give a shout out to my man Med, you know, first and foremost, you know, who put me on, and then to my brother Sess, and Yes Too, you know, and Ninth All right. Wonder.
There you go.
And Osby, the number man.
The number
okay,
man.
Okay, who I work with. And, you know, it's good, man. You know, it has its good days. It has its bad days, bro.
Just like anything.
Just everything. Like anything else.
Yeah,
what's
absolutely.
Real cool is, you know, I'm able to be around the culture pretty much,
right.
you know, all the time, you know. And guess what? Yes, I do get sick of it as well, okay?
Well, you know, it's like anything, you know, you start out as, you know, DJing
in your...
I'm not
saying I don't appreciate it.
DJing in your
I do.
Room.
I
and
appreciate
then,
it.
You know, you start DJing here and there, and then before you know it, it's a job. And that's where it, you know, tends to fuck with you in the head, so to speak.
Right, it's a job.
And it's just like graffiti at one point or another. You know, you love doing the graph, but then all the politics involved with the graffiti. You know,
I ended up getting, you know, I just told you like,
and that and,
like,
you know.
Like, you know, I go to NA meetings and stuff still. I'm coming up on 9 years clean.
Congratulations.
I got into NA. Thank you. I got into NA because I was in a blackout.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was eating Xanax and drinking and I was out bombing
mm-hmm.
with my brother Arse.
Ah.
TMR, KDM.
Shout him out.
Shout him
good
out.
People,
Arse,
good people.
My brother Arse.
We got to
right?
get Arse on the show.
And, you know, I kind of, you know, was getting a little hectic. You know, I bombed the train station. We don't need to say which one. And then went on a little mission. And I got locked up for it. To make a long story short, three felonies later, a lot that were dropped down. You know, obviously, they hit everybody with e-felonies now for this bullshit.
Mm.
And then MTA wanted their own charges in it, you know.
Right.
And, you know, that's what I did. Just copped a plea. As soon as they put the book in front of photos of me, okay, it's a game over. You know, they said to me, what up, old school? And I was like, you know what? I'll take the charge. Thank you, sir. Have a great one. And that's it. Like a fucking man.
That's
right?
it. Hey,
if
you do
gonna,
it, you
if
own
you're
it.
Gonna play, you gotta pay.
That's it.
All right.
Own
I don't give a
it.
Fuck who it is, bro. And honestly, if you're out there and you're doing illegal shit and you have a family and you get busted and you rat somebody out, you're a fucking asshole. Okay.
True.
Self responsibility, my brother.
True. Rats are never accepted.
No, they're not accepted, bro.
Yeah, they're just dangerous, and
no,
they're dangerous
it's
to
not.
Themselves as well. But
it's not.
That's
that doesn't
pretty...
mean I hate police officers.
No, I mean,
okay.
Hey, listen, they got a job just like everybody else does. I mean, you know.
You know, I hear the street shit all day, you know, fucking pigs, this, pigs, that. But you guess what, homeboy? You've never been locked up in your whole fucking life. So
mm-hmm.
what the fuck are you talking about?
Listen, being locked up and being on the other side of the gate, I mean, listen, everybody has a job. And without police, society would be fucking, would be a circus. You know, I mean, do you respect them? Yes, you do. Do you hate them? Yes, you do. Do you like them? Yes, you do. So, you know, it's just the way life is. It all depends on the circumstance because, like I said, one day you love them.
I mean,
one day
I wouldn't choose to be a cop.
No.
I wasn't going down that road.
I don't think so. I always said if I was a cop, I'd probably be in jail.
If I was a cop, I'd probably be a corrupt cop.
Yeah,
no, that's the truth.
I gotta agree. Yeah, me too. I mean, like when I walk into the bank, you know, I say to myself,
especially
if I
years ago,
the bank,
if it was the '80s or something, you know,
if I worked in the bank, I would be in jail
down.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Me, I would go into the safe.
Well, I did work in the bank.
I would get bundles of money, I would throw it up in the air, and I would fucking jump in it like a little kid.
Listen, bro, I was still going out bombing
and go to jail
in the early '90s. I would go out bombing with my boy Foe and Arse.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working on fucking Wall Street making like six fucking figures. And I was still going out at night and fucking bombing. And like, you know, that's the reality of it, man.
Well,
this shit just doesn't leave your system.
That turned into a job as well because, you know, it started out, all right, I'll bomb tonight. And then it's this night, that night, and then another one and another one and another one. And before you know it, you're going out pretty much every minute you have free. And, you know, that's the way it is. So today, Who do you see out there today that
that's actually from New York?
Okay, yeah, why not?
That's actually from New York. You know what? I got to tell you, mostly it's the same people that have been doing it for the last 30 fucking years consistently.
There you go. So no new names pop up. And
there's some new names that are out there doing shit, but I don't think they're from New York. You know,
okay.
The person I see out there a lot that's really killing it, man, is that fucking kid Pear.
Yeah.
The other kid, Hounds. I believe Hounds is from New York. Mm-hmm. Pear, Hounds. That kid Attic was destroying shit for a long time. Louie. You know, you can't deny them, man. Look at this shit that they're fucking doing, seriously. And, of course, Lions, Ruckus, mm-hmm. you know, and a couple other kids like that, you know. You can't deny them, man. And then, of course, Over.
Mm-hmm. And MG. Know,
Over and MG. You know, they do their thing, man. You know, and those are New Yorkers. Thank you. Let me clarify that. Those are real New Yorkers. Thank you. You know, the kids that I just mentioned are kind of like out of town or kind of kids as far as I know. Okay.
Well, yeah, rumor says that they're not from New York, but still, the work that they're putting in, they might as well live in New York.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think if you went to another city, like San Francisco or something,
right.
that it would be as scary for you to go out anywhere and just fucking bomb anywhere?
Absolutely.
Or it would just be as scary?
No, more so.
It would be more scary, right?
Yeah, because you really don't know the streets as well as you know your own backyard. I mean,
just a question, just to throw
out.
Yeah,
no, that's a perfect question. That's actually a very good question because, yeah, you should take that.
See, I've been arrested in New York, all right, so, several times. So
the system here is not
that's
the same.
What I'm saying. Right. The system here is not the same. So for me to get locked up in, like,
Wyoming.
You know, yeah, like, you know,
Utah.
Yeah, or wherever. Like, if I'm in a city like that, Salt Lake or whatever.
Right, anywhere out okay. of the tri-state area.
Right. I'm not really sweating. I'll just fucking kill. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that wouldn't really bother me, getting me arrested out there. Because they're not looking for shit like that on the streets as much.
Right. I mean, I hear
in my
like,
opinion.
I hear again. Like Detroit, you know, cops don't even fuck with you.
Listen, they have other problems in Detroit than to worry about
yeah,
graffiti.
Well, financially,
and New York
yeah,
does
hurt.
Too, technically speaking.
Right. But New York always got to fucking, you know, throw a monkey wrench at you for something. But
New York has become the kind of place where they've just opened the door for all these people to put other money here from all over the place, okay? Instead of taking care of their own.
Right.
And I think that, you know, what they've really did is like just squeeze the shit out of the middle class and the working class peoples, you know, and just kind of like driven them out of state almost. You
right.
know?
Because now basically you have your rich and your poor.
Right. That's basically, you know, and that's basically what happened. And it's all about how the city looks, not really how internally the city is doing, you know, dollar wise or like, you know, the court system is so fucking rigged. They just show the numbers that they want to show to. It is a business, man. It's a fucking business. You know, it's kind of like, let's make sure the outside looks real good to attract other investors to come here.
Well, yeah. I mean, but what I find, you know, wrong is how foreigners, you want to call them, I guess, you know.
Out-of-towners.
Interlopers. Outer country people. What I don't accept, but, you know, who the fuck am I? You know, you have, like, the Asians. They come here. You know, they buy everything up. We owe them money, this, that. We gave them the trade of, you know, import and all of that. Regardless.
Right.
What I don't understand is how these people and many other people from out of the country make their money here, and they don't keep it here. They send it back to their country. To me, there should be some type of law.
I agree
there.
To some degree. But you know what? You know, with the Asians, listen, you cannot disagree with me as far as this goes, that these people come here and they fucking work like slaves. And you know what? They don't rent. They buy things. They
cash.
Buy houses. Cash.
Straight
they
cash.
Buy it.
Straight
they work.
Cash.
All right? The populace really here has lost that, you know? You don't see kids going around with plastic bags collecting fucking, you know, 5-cent refunds, bro. You
right.
don't.
Right.
All right? But I see a 70-year-old Asian woman, I'm sorry, Chinese woman, Korean woman, whatever you want to call it, walking around from garbage to garbage looking for refunds.
Right.
They invest their money, bro.
With a full shopping cart, two bags hanging from a stick.
Exactly.
And they go at it.
You just don't see the kids these days doing that.
Well, that's just like your pizzeria. You know, it used to be an Italian thing. Now the Italians don't want to do it. Has the Italian name and the Italian heritage, pizza, pizza, pizza. And meanwhile, it's not even an Italian person in it.
No. Greek, Albanian.
Right.
Jews.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, that's just because we're...
Mexican.
As Americans, we're just lazy fucks. And then we cry.
And so to speak. That's basically it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what? I was thinking about this. You know what? During, like, the springtime, you don't even see kids fucking hanging outside anymore.
Oh, you remember the Johnny Pump days? Fucking turn on the hydrant, fucking run back
you
and
just,
forth.
Listen, I still see it in the Bronx because I live in the Bronx, all right?
Okay.
All right? I still see that in the Bronx. I still see that in certain parts of Brooklyn. However, you just don't see people hanging out anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because of the cell phone age, because of the computer age.
Yep, lazy
fucks. They're completely self-absorbed.
Mm.
You know? You know what? You know...
If kids today could live the way we lived, I think they would appreciate life a whole lot more.
You know, I sacrificed a lot to do the art that I wanted to do. You
absolutely.
Know? It amazes me.
Tattoos.
True, but what I'm saying is, I'm just saying, just for, I guess, if you want to call it the culture, like, you know, the incarceration, the fines, the probation, okay? Mm-hmm.
The agony.
The street fights.
Yeah.
Okay? The thefts. Yeah. Okay?
Straight up racking.
Okay? To see some fucking 25-year-old from fucking Europe or anywhere else in the fucking planet, okay, study subway art and every other style that's online, match it all up, create his own shit, get a couple legal spots to start painting, and then think he's the fucking man, and then come to New York City and snub motherfuckers like he's the fucking man. All right? And I'm not even talking about just globally, even in other parts of the country, to even fucking do that.
Do you have a name going with that, or are you going to keep it anonymous?
I have to keep it anonymous. I have to. I really have to.
I know you do.
Too many people.
I just wanted to throw that out there because that's, you know, everybody has that opinion. Whether you're young or old, it seems like everybody in the graffiti game has that opinion about outsiders. Now, me personally, I still to this day say New York is the mecca of graffiti. And
some will say Philadelphia.
Yeah, well, I say New York City.
Right, I say New York.
So, you know, if you don't like it, fuck you.
Yeah,
go fuck
much,
yourself, as Victor
pretty
would
much,
say.
You know, in a New York kind of way, go fuck yourself.
There you go. That, you can't say it any better than that.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, what was your favorite racking spot?
Chroma Paint on Long Island, where
Chroma
many
Paint.
People went to. That's correct.
Mom and Pop store.
Also, Pearl Paint. Plus, I worked at Pearl Paint. Okay. And they gave me the fucking marker aisle, okay, without knowing who the fuck I was. Many different Krylon cases disappeared from that store. Thank God they're closed now. It doesn't even fucking matter.
Yep, it's true.
Okay.
It is what it is. It's part of history. So, I mean, nobody can say shit anymore. And that's pretty much a lot of the stories that we talk about.
Even Pathmark sold fucking spray paint.
Shoprite. Woolworths.
Absolutely. Woolworths was a dynamite spot.
Yep. 34th Street.
That's correct.
Martin Paint. Pergament.
I never did Martin Paint. Pergament I have done. All right. I got Rust-Oleums out of Pergament before. But at, you know, like I guess in the late 80s while I was working at Pearl Paint, I wasn't able to get like one or two cans here and there. I was able to get
shit. How about
boxes.
TSS?
TSS is way back.
Damn.
I was able, but out of Pearl Paint, we were able to get,
EJ.
You know, cases of this shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow. Caldor. Shit, I went up to Boston and I used to rack out of Caldor. James Way.
Chroma Paint was a famous rack spot. It's a little mom and pop art store on Long Island. It's not an art store, it's a paint store, but they had art supplies.
Wow, they must have lost a lot of fucking money.
They did. And it was a privately owned, you know.
Had a house in the Hamptons, regardless of all the paint being stolen out of the store?
Where's that?
Chroma Paint?
Yeah. It was ridiculous, man, really.
And I mean, they were out in Long Island.
Even Wayne and Wen. You know, I remember discussing this with Wen COD. Big up to my boy Wen, okay? Fucking racked Chroma, as a lot of Bronx people did.
I remember going racking with Fuzz One out in Long Island, and he had some fucking racket. And we came off with so many cans. Oh, fuck. Shout out to Fuzz One.
Definitely. Good people. And I don't think people realize that Fuzz lived in Queens for some time, too.
Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. Definitely, bro.
The last time I ran into him, I was dating this girl, and he was like, "Yo, what's up, Al?" And, you know, we're shaking hands and all of that shit. And my girl at the time is looking at me like, "Who the fuck is Al?" You know, and I just kept it to myself. I was like, "Ah, you know, he's a little burnt out. You know, he pulls me out." But it's funny because, you know, sometimes you're walking in the street, people don't know you're into the graph game and fucking... You know, someone will walk up to you and say, "Oh, what's up, Ink?" And, like, they're looking at you like, "What? Who the fuck is Ink?"
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes.
It's embarrassing.
I remember my daughter, when she was, you know, a baby, you know, someone was like, "Yo, what's up, Alski?" And my daughter was looking at him like, "Huh?" You know, now she knows everything about it. But, you know, oh, my God, I could go on with stories about shit like that. Who's calling me this? Who's calling me that? You want to hear one even funnier? My father... May he rest in peace, was wearing, I had gotten punished, and I had an Alski belt buckle, and I got in trouble for something. He took my belt buckle.
You had a nameplate.
The nameplate, right. Yeah. And he's standing on the corner by, you know, in the neighborhood with an Alski belt buckle, and he's leaning up against the wall, and there's an Alski piece. And he's just standing there, not even realizing it. And someone had taken a picture of that, and I wish I could find that picture.
Oh,
but
that was
so fucking hilarious.
That's funny. I have a story like that. I was on the Grand Central, right? And my father owned this building in Red Hook, right? And we're driving into Brooklyn, and I had just gotten caught for a graffiti charge. Maybe like 2 months prior, right? And as we're on the Grand Central, we get slowed down into some traffic, and there is a white truck in front of us, and it's a Saint, Ink, and Mirage with Mirage's footprints. And there's my tag and a Saint tag. And my father looks up, and my father recognizes this shit because, you know, I basically wrote it on every fucking piece of paper in the fucking house.
Napkins.
Right, exactly. Yeah, all right. And my father looks at the truck, and he looks at him, and he looks over to me, and he says, "Are you still doing it?" And I said, "Am I still doing what, Dad?"
And playing stupid type.
Yeah, exactly.
Shit.
Kind of playing stupid, you know. But those were good times, man. That was about 86. Sometimes I would hit up Brooklyn, too. I would leave him at the building, you know, if he was doing something there, and I would hit up the neighborhood a little bit, you know. That's where I first started seeing, like, Keo tags.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Keo X-Men?
Yeah.
I used to have a couple tags running over there. Big up to my boy Keo, bro. He's doing cool. He's doing real good.
As we start wrapping up, you got shout-outs. Shout them all out.
I have a whole bunch of shout-outs.
Go. It's all yours. All
right. I want to big up to the remaining members of the KDM crew, Sketch, Arse, Fast, CG1, and the TMR crew, Saint, Scent, Crow, RF, Chili, my boy Chili, his brother Tiny, and many other names in there. Too numerous to even keep me on the mic. It'd probably take me like a half an hour to fucking name. But those people from the TMR crew, big up. And, of course, my peoples at Tough City, Med, Cess, and Yes Too, okay? And who else do I want to give a big up to? I want to give a big up to Zeus. Zeus, how you doing? Super. And Al, thank you very much for having me come down. Maybe we'll do another interview talking about some other stories at a different time, all right?
Absolutely.
All right, have a great one, my friend.
Likewise.
All right, peace, brother.
Peace.
Another episode of the Alski Show. What the hell happened to my music? Jesus Christ, nothing went right today. Well, it was nothing but a clusterfuck, but a good time, nevertheless. Big shout out to Zeus for hanging out with us tonight. We had a good time. Always love seeing the Rust-Oleum collection. Shout out to All The Right. Shout out to everyone out there. Subscribe to the Alski Show. No, get back on the mic.
Am I on the mic? Hello?
Yeah, you're on the mic.
I'm on the mic. I just want to give a big shout out to the Risk Crew as well. Sorry about that. A big shout out to Ghost, Giz. Check out Giz's stuff, man. He's doing great things, all right? And also, I want to give a big shout out to Such, okay? Such, yes, TMR, Effects Crew, okay? And also, my main man, my old school hardcore brother, Ezek, DMS.
Shout him
big
out.
Big up. Love you, brother.
Shout
peace.
Shout out to Mad Warner from Seattle. Stay tuned for information. He's got a nice project going on, interviewing people on the paint collecting and the name of the game when it comes to getting them classic gems. Worth a lot of money, by the way. So much going on. You know, support your small business, your local artist, and all of that other good shit. And remember, graffiti writers are people too. We have lives. And sometimes you just gotta say fuck it. So, another episode of the Alski Show. And we out like a trout. Peace, bitches. And we're gonna take you out with Africa Bambaataa.